Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Samach Dalid. We left off on Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, all the way down at the bottom, two lines up from the bottom. Today we're going to continue with a discussion that we began yesterday. Yesterday we were discussing a lot about various safeguards against forgery. We were concerned with the prospect that somebody was going to forge a shtar and either add in forged text above the signature of the Edim, or maybe we saw yesterday even below the signature of the Edim, but above where the court had certified the signature of the Edim. We had spoken about how many lines of space would be required in order to forge a shtar, whether you can make a shtar, the Ksivas HaShtar, and the Edim on the same line, whether you could have the Ksivas HaShtar on one line and the Edim signing on the following line. And yesterday we already introduced the concept of Tiyuta, where the sofer might blot an entire space of the shtar with ink, and we were concerned with what happens if you erase that tiyuta, if you erase that makom tiyuta, and if instead you add forged ksav for the shtar. Today we're going to discuss in great detail all about mechek and a shtar that's written partly on erased parchment, partly on parchment that had not been erased. What if the Edim are signing on the Mechek? Can Edim sign on the Mechek? Whether a shtar that's been erased once looks the same as the shtar that's been erased twice, for the purpose of trying to figure out if there's been any forgery. That will consume most of Kuf Samach Dalin Amud Aleph. And then moving on to Amud Beis, we're going to focus really on another distinction between a shtar Mekushar and a shtar Pashut, which is the manner in which those shtaros were dated. So as we'll see, that a shtar pashut is dated the way a normal shtar is dated, and we have to remember in the times of the Gemara, often what they would do is they would date shtaros in accordance with the rule of any of the Goyish Amalchus that was in effect at the time. So for example, if we were today to date shtaros in according with the rule of the president, for example, we would say that this is the first year of Donald Trump's presidency, because it's the first year of Donald Trump's presidency. That's by a shtar pasha. We'll see that by a shtar mekushar, for whatever reason, they would actually post-date the shtar by a year. So in other words, if it was the first year of the rulership of the monarch or of the president, they would add a year. And that was somehow a kavod to the ruler. So for example, if we were to write a shtar mekushar today, we would write not it's the first year of Donald Trump's presidency, but it's the second year of Donald Trump's presidency. And we'll see that was another enhancement or distinction to the shtar to make it more difficult to write a shtar mekushar. And again, all of this we saw a few days ago was to prevent Kohanim, who were very rash, from divorcing their wives, which would have very bad consequences, because once the Kohen divorces his wife, wouldn't be able to take her back. And that will take us almost all the way down to the bottom of Kuf Samach Dalid Amud Beis, that discussion. So let's start again, Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom. Gufa. So says the Gemara, right in the middle of the line, Gufa. So Amar Rav, Shtar Haba, Hu Ve'edav Ala Mechek Kosher. If you have a shtar where both the text of the shtar and the Edim signature all appear on an erased portion of the shtar, that is going to be kosher. So says the Gemara, but aren't you asking for a problem? Aren't you begging for a forgery over here? Vim tomar mochek v'chozer v'mochek, and if you're going to ask, aren't you afraid of mochek v'chozer v'mochek, that you're going to erase some of the text that was written on the erased portion of the shtar and then replace it with some forged text? As the Rashbam explains, v'alo chozer hu u'mochek es hashtar v'zayef v'chas mi sahadi. Because if everything is written on a portion of the parchment that had already been erased, aren't we afraid you're going to erase the entire ksav of the shtar, write whatever you want, and then it's going to appear as if the written portion of the shtar and the Edim signature are all on parchment that had been erased. Umishani, and the Gemara explains, let's just see in the Gemara, that Eina Doma Nimchak Pam Achas LeNimchak Shtei Pa'amim. That no, we're not afraid, because something that has been erased once is not like, does not have the same appearance as something that has been erased twice. And now back in the Rashbam, first line, Umishani, Ein Dome Chasima Sa'edim, Shachosom Ala Mechek, Shenimchak, Pam Achas, Lexiva Sashtar, Akosov Al Nimchak, Shtei, Pam Envie Nikara Ziyaf. The Rashbam explains that the whole point of this is that the Ziyaf, the forgery, is going to be apparent. Why is the forgery going to be apparent? Because if the concern is that you're going to erase the top of the shtar and just replace the ksivas hashtar with whatever text you want, so the top of the shtar is going to have been erased twice. Because remember, the entire shtar, both the ksiva and the edim, is written on erased parchment. Now, if you're erasing the top of the shtar is going to be erased twice. The bottom of the shtar, the edim, where the edim sign, will only have been erased once. And there will be a discrepancy in the appearance between the part of the shtar that's been erased twice, the part of the shtar that's been erased once. Therefore, we are not afraid of a forgery. So says the Gemara, we should still be afraid of a forgery. Why? V'leichash dilma shadi diyuta amokam edim meikara. Maybe the guy is a very scheming guy. So the guy's very, very smart. So what he's going to do is he's going to put ink all over the portion of the parchment that the Edom are going to sign on, but before the Edom sign, umochikle, now he's going to erase that portion. V'dechi hadar mochikle, dechi madar, dechi hadar mochikle, lahai, because now, when he then erases the top of the shtar, havele idi v'idi nimchak shtei pamim, it's going to come out that both the ksav, both the makom ksivas hashtar, and the Mokom Chasima Sa'edim will have been erased two times. So in other words, what's happening here is you have a piece of parchment, the entire parchment has been erased. So right now everything's been erased once. Now, before you write the shtar, you're adding ink to the parchment, and now you're erasing just in the Mokom Chasima Sa'edim. And now you're erasing that portion. You have the Edom sign. Then you write the shtar on the Nimchak Pam Achas on top. Then you erase what was written on the top of the shtar. And now you're going to write a new text, a forged text, on the top of the shtar. And you're going to have both the top of the shtar and the bottom of the shtar is going to have been Nimchak Shtei Pamim. So that's going to be a problem, because you're not going to be able to discern the forgery here. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Ksavar Ein Edim Chos Min Al Amechek, Elim Ka Nimchak Bifneim. No, that the Edim aren't going to sign on the erased portion of the shtar unless the erased portion of the shtar was written in front of them. In other words, what was our whole concern of the forgery? The whole concern was that you were going to take a piece of parchment which was erased in its entirety. You were then going to add ink to the bottom of the parchment where the Edom sign, and then you were going to erase it again before they sign, so to create a place where there were two erasures. But the Edom are not going to sign on the bottom of the shtar on an erased piece of parchment unless it was erased in front of them. And says the Rashbam, v'im yiru mokam chasimasa mishuna b'mechika min ha'elyon, and if they see that where they're supposed to sign is different in the type of the erasure from the top of the shtar, lo yachtumu, they will not sign the shtar. And over here, if the Edom look, they'll see that the bottom of the shtar is different than the top of the shtar, because the entire parchment was already erased once, we said. Now you're going to add ink to the bottom and erase it again. They're going to notice that the bottom of the shtar looks like it's erased more than the top of the shtar, so that they'll never sign. The Ritva happens to explain that this halacha, that a person is going to scrutinize and is not going to sign on the mechek unless it's been nimchak bifneim, is a halacha dafka in Edim, that it's only Edim who are coming to testify on a shtar, that they're going to be medakdek to that extent, so that they're not going to sign unless the shtar was written in, was erased in front of them. So says the Ritva, okay, but all shtaros have Edim on them, so what's the nafkamina here? So the Ritva explains, no, not all shtaros have Edim on them. Let's say if you have sometimes we have ksav yad yotze mitachas yado, right? Sometimes we have just a promissory note that somebody might give to somebody else, say, hey, you say that you owe me $100. There are no edim, but it's ksav yado. Now, what happens if that shtar is written on mechek? So that shtar, if it's written on mechek, is going to be puzzle. Because the only reason that we would kasher a shtar that's written on mechek is because we can trust that the edim, who are very medaktikin, are not going to sign unless the portion where the signature is going to be placed was erased in front of them. Therefore, it comes out, according to the Ritva, if you ever have a shtar without edim, that type of shtar would be puzzle if it was written on mechek, because it's too susceptible to forgery. Says the Gemara Vayter now. So Meisvei. So who ala nayar ve'edav ala mechek kosher? If the shtar, the ksiva, the mokom ksiva sashtar is written on just plain parchment that has not been erased, ve'edav ala mechek, but the edim are signed, the edim signature appears on a portion of the shtar that has been erased, kosher, that's going to be kosher. So says the Gemara, v'nechash dilma mochik lei, v'kosev lei mai deboi, v'avi lehu ve'edav ala mechek. So says the Gemara, what? This is crazy. You're begging for forgery here, because the edim have signed on a portion of the shtar that's already been erased. The top of the shtar has not yet been erased. So what are you going to do? You're going to erase the top part of the shtar and the ksiva. You're going to write whatever you want. Now both the top and the bottom of the shtar is going to have been erased once. So everybody's going to assume that this is a bona fide shtar and everything was written after the initial erasure. So you're begging for a forgery here. So says the Gemara, the Kosav Hachi, because you write, because when the Edim sign on Mechek and the top of the parchment is Nayar and the top of the parchment is regular parchment that has never been erased, the Edim use the following formulation. The Chsivi Hachi, Anachnu Sada, we the witnesses, Chasamna Al Machka, we have signed on Mechek, Vishtara Kosav Al Naira. And the shtar is written on the shtar was written on regular parchment, on unerased parchment. So in other words, that the only time Edim will sign on Mechek is if they write in the signature, they're basically certifying that the top of the shtar was written on Niyar, was written on unerased parchment. And therefore, if you would ever try to forge the shtar by erasing the parchment and adding your corrupted text, the signatures would be invalidated, because the signatures certify that the top of the shtar is on plain parchment and not on erased parchment. So Tosfos explains over here that the only time you are able to have Edim sign on Mechek if the top of the shtar is not erased is if there's room on the shtar not only for the Edim signature, but also for this formulation of Anachnu Sade, we signed on the Mechek, and the regular shtar was written on unerased parchment. And we are not afraid. Tosfos also explains why we aren't afraid that a person is going to try to forge the shtar by cutting out of the parchment the place where the edim certified that we signed on mechek, but the rest of the shtar was written on niyar, that the rest of the shtar was written on regular parchment, because a person is going to be wary of trying to mess around too much with a mukam chasimas edim, because a person wouldn't want to invalidate the shtar entirely. Therefore, we don't have to worry that the guy is going to try to cut out of the signature block of the edim this formulation that we're signing on the mechek, but the shtar is written on regular parchment. But in any event, it explains the Gemara, that's why we're not concerned for forgery, where the edim sign on the mechek, the regular shtar is written on erased parchment. We don't have to be afraid of forgery because of this special formulation. So says the Gemara, really, where do they write this? Dichsivi hecha. So email etachas. If the edim sign, and then on the bottom beneath their signature they write, we the edim signed on the erased portion, but the shtar was written on the unerased portion. So im letachas gayis lei, then you'll just cut it off. So we should be afraid of forgery. And iloi, and if it's written above where the edim sign, then machik lei, then the guy can just erase that portion of the shtar, because remember, the entire, the signature block of the Edim was written on the Mechek, and the rest of the shtar was written on Niyar. But if now you erase the part where it says that we signed on Mechek and the rest of the shtar was written on Niyar, and then you erase the top of the shtar and forge it, then it's going to be a shtar, Hu ve'edav ba'ala Mechek. So aren't you afraid that they're going to forge it? So says the Gemara, the kasvi bein sada l'sada. No, they write in between the signatures. They write in between the signatures that we have signed on the Mechek, but the shtar was written on the Niyar. Now the Mefarshim deal with, well, if they are writing this between the signatures, then doesn't this formulation only append itself to the first signature? So in other words, let's say if Reuven signs, and then we write, Anachnu Sada, we signed on the Mechek, and the rest of the shtar was written on the Niyar, and then Shimon signs beneath that formulation, so it would turn out that the formulation only relates back to the to the first aid. So now we don't have Kasher Edim, we don't have two Kasher Edim on the shtar. So the Miri explains, no, what they would do is you would have one aid sign, and then the guy would write the formulation, Anachnu Sada, we signed on the Mechek, and the shtar was written on Niyar. The second aid would sign, but after his signature, he would write Gamani. So he would write basically relating back to the certification, oh, I also signed on this shtar. The signatures were on the Mechek, but the rest of the shtar was written, on the Niyar. Now the Rashba explains that you do write this certification in between the signatures, and the second aid doesn't even have to add anything in the signature block that says Vagamani or anything like that. But he says, the Rashba says, that really one aid is kosher for this purpose, because really aid echad is not kosher, not because we don't believe him, but it's not an issue of ne'amanus, and Vaharaya, we see that Eid Echad could be Mechayev Shvua, and Eid Echad is kosher for Eidus of Kinoy and Stira by a Sota, and the problem, the reason that usually you require Shnei Eidim, says the Rashba, is because we're not Motzi Mamon Al Pi Eid Echad. And this is a shtar that's a monetary shtar, so if we had only one shtar, we couldn't be Motzi Mamon Al Pi Eid Echad, says the Rashba, but you're not being Motzi Mamon Al Pi Eid Echad. Here there are two Eidim. The problem is that we need some means of certifying that the Eidim signed on the erased part and the shtar was written on the unerased portion. So from a din of Nemonos, one Eid is believed to certify as to that. But you have two Eidim here. Now that the one Eid has been Nemon to certify that the Eidim signed on the erased portion, you could have both Eidim, so your Motzi Mamon Al Pi Beis Eidim, even though you have the certification only in between the signature blocks of the Eidim. That's the way the Rashba explains here. So says the Gemara now, about halfway down on Kuf Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, says the Gemara, Ihachi Ema Seifa. So says the Gemara, if this is true, then let's look at the Seifa. So Hu Ala Mechek, let's say if the Shtar is written on the erased portion, the Eidav Ala Niyar, and the Eidim are written on the unerased portion of the Shtar, then Pusul, then it's going to be Pusul. Says the Gemara, my Pusul, Hachanami Nichtavu Hachi, why don't the Eidim write the following formulation? Anachnu Sadi Chasamna Al Naira, Vishtara Al Machka. Why don't the Eidim just sign that we, the Eidim, signed on the unerased portion of the shtar, and the shtar was written on an erased portion of the shtar, and by using that formulation, they should be able to validate such a shtar. So says the Gemara, because hashtanami my amrit, so what are we afraid of? Mochek v'chozer v'mochek, are we afraid that you're going to erase the top part of the shtar, and that you're going to have the Eidim who are certifying in their signature block that they signed on Naira, and the shtar is on Mechek. So what are we afraid? We're afraid that a guy is going to come and erase the whole top of the shtar. Then he's going to write his forged thing, and it's going to turn out that the top of the shtar was really erased twice, but the place where the Eidim are signing is going to be unerased. But Amrit, but you already told me ein adom nimchak pam achas l'nimchak shtei pamim. That ishtar where the parchment's been erased twice doesn't look like a star where the parchment's been erased once. So what are we concerned with? Are we afraid that somebody's going to erase the whole top of the parchment and write in a new forged star? We shouldn't be afraid of that, because we are going to be able to ascertain that the star was forged in that way, because the star that's been erased twice doesn't look like the star that's been erased once. It says the Gemara, Hani mili hecha dechsimi sadi amichka. That's only when the witnesses sign on the mechek. So in other words, remember we had said that the edim don't sign on the mechek unless it was erased in front of them, and the edim are bekiyim, they're able to tell whether something has been erased once or whether it's been erased twice. So what the Gemara now says, nah, the only time that they pay such attention to when something has been erased is when their signature is on an erased portion of the shtar. However, if they're signing on the niyar, if they're signing on the regular parchment, the unerased parchment, but it's the rest of the shtar that's been on the mechek, they're not going to be able to ascertain whether the top of the shtar has been erased once or erased twice, because they're not going to focus on it so much. It says the Gemara, the focus of the Edom is the only way to ascertain whether something's been erased once or whether it's been erased twice. No. So the less the looksim sadi mikha ela naira. Lo yadis. So velese megilta achrite velimchok velidami. Velidmi. So let's bring another Megillah, another piece of parchment that's been erased, and let's compare that other parchment to this parchment. And when we compare the other parchment to this parchment, we'll be able to figure out, has this parchment been erased once, or has this parchment been erased twice? So says the Gemara, lo dami mechka da hamigilta la mechka da hamigilta. No, we can't, because the mechek of one Megillah, the erased parchment, one erased parchment, doesn't necessarily look like another erased parchment. Why not? So says the Rashbam, ze av v'ze dak, because one piece of parchment might be thick, the other might be thin. U'mechek shel klaf av ein a nikar kolkach. And the thicker the parchment, the less apparent, the less discernible the erasure is going to be. So we said the Edim aren't really focused on the character of the erased portion of the shtar if they're signing on the regular portion. So they're not going to focus on whether the top portion has been erased once or erased twice. Why don't we bring another parchment that's also been erased, and we'll see, based on a comparison, whether this one's been erased once or erased twice. Says the Gemara, because we can't use the other parchment as a valid basis for comparison, because all the erasures might be different. They might present differently. Says the Gemara. The Gemara presses on. Okay. So then let's accept the witnesses in Beis Din. Let's erase then the portion of the shtar where the witness is signed, and now let's compare the bottom of the shtar where the witness is signed to the top of the shtar, which had already been erased, and in comparison to on that same cloth, in comparison, we could compare the top and the bottom, and we can see, was the top of the shtar erased once, or was the top of the shtar erased twice? The Rashbam points out, obviously, you can only do this where the Edim are there, and the Edim are able to attest to their signatures, because otherwise, you would never erase the Makam Chesimas Edim, because then you would thwart the guy from ever being able to collect with a shtar. But if there was a way to be Mekayim, the Edim and Beis Din, so let's just erase the bottom of the shtar, now let's do a comparison, top of the cloth, bottom of the cloth, and let's see whether the top was erased once, in which case it's going to be kosher, or if it was erased twice, in which case it's going to be puzzle. So says the Gemara, Amravoshia ain't a doma nimchak ben yomel and nimchak ben shnei yamim. No, because still the erasure is not going to present the same. Because the forged top, the forged portion of the shtar, the top of the shtar, would have been erased a while ago. The bottom part, when you're dragging the Edom into Beis Din, and they're being Mekayim their own signatures, now you're erasing the Makam Chesimas Edom, that's a fresh forgery. So the fresh erasure is going to present differently than the older erasure. Says the Gemara, Velishaya. So why don't you leave this? So I have an idea. So let's bring the shtar to Beis Din. Let's have the Edom be Mekayim their signatures. We'll then erase the portion of the shtar, the Makam Chesimas Edom, and we'll leave the shtar in Beis Din for a couple of days until it gets older, and then we'll be able to compare and nimchak l'shnei yamim l'nimchak l'shnei yamim. So we'll be able to compare an older rasher to an older rasher. So why don't we do that? So Rav Yirmiya says, Rav Yirmiya, chashin la basin toin, because what we're afraid of is we're afraid that the basin is going to make a mistake. So if you look in the Rashbam, says over here, v'lo yodu l'dakte kol kach, they're not going to know to be medaktik like this. Olishoso la'achshir shtar posel hilkach pasku l'milso poselu kol shtar shalamechek veidav al haniyar. They're not going to necessarily know the nuances of this procedure, and they're not going to know that in order to effectively work this procedure, you need to keep the erased portion there for a while. And because we're afraid that not all Batei Din are going to know the protocol, we say flat out that if the Edim sign on an ER and the Shtar is on the Mechek, that's always going to be possible. So we make a prophylactic din that it's possible, lest the Beis Din not know how to properly certify whether the top of the Shtar had been forged or not. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Mekusharis. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel said that if the witnesses sign on a Mekushar on the inside, remember we had said that the Edim on a Mekushar sign on the back. That's what we learned in the beginning of the Perek. Now, if the Edim sign on the face of the Shtar on a Mekushar, it's going to be valid. Why? Because you could just pull apart the Shtar, you could rip apart the folds, and then the eid, it's going to become a shtar pashut, and you're going to have the eidim signing on the front of the shtar. So that's going to be valid. So says the Gemara. Sheishiv Rebbe l'divrei Rav Chanina ben Gamliel. So Rebbe answered to Rav Chanina ben Gamliel. V'alo ein adom ezmano shel zeh lezmano shel zeh. But the zman, how can you say that you could convert a get mekusher into a get pashut? The zman of a mekusher and the zman of a pashut are not the same. So Pashut, by a get Pashut, Malach Shana, Monelo Shana. If the king has been ruling for a year, and again, they would date the Shtaros in accordance with the dates of the secular rulers who were governing at that time, and if the king had been ruling for a year, they would say in the first year of the king's reign. If the king was ruling for the second year, they would say in the second year of the king's reign. So Melech Shana Monelo Shana, Shnayim Monelo Shtayim. Mekushar, however, by a get Mekushar, Melech Shana Monelo Shtayim, Shtayim Monelo Gimel. However, by a get Mekushar, if it was the first year of the king's reign, they would actually date it in the second year of the king's reign. If it was the second year of the king's reign, they would actually date it in the third year of the king's reign. And the Rashbam explains over here, the whole reason that they would do this is, he hypothesizes, maybe it was l'kavod ha-melech, because it's a kavod to the king to say, oh, he's already been muchzak in his malchus for even longer, so you're adding years to his rulership. It's a very big kavod to the king. And then the Rashbam winds up saying, no, that what he thinks is that this is just, and we explained in the introduction to the shir today, this is one of the enhancements that they made by a get mekusher in order to make it more difficult procedurally to come up with a kosher shtar mekusher, and this was again to dissuade the Kohanim from divorcing their wives, that you would make them jump through a whole bunch of hurdles. Not only would you have to make them write the shtar where it was sewn every other line, and you would have the edim on the back of the shtar, it would have to be dated differently, and all of these were safeguards. There were so many different safeguards over here to try to ensure that the Kohanim would not rashly divorce their wives. So says the Gemara, okay, so now we know that the mekusher is different. The mekusher is different, is dated differently from a shtar pashut. So says the Gemara now, four lines down. Bezimnin zayif min ezuzi b'mekusher. Well, maybe you're going to borrow money with a get mekusher. Umisramile, or you're going to lend money with a get mekusher. Misramile zuzi beni beni uparale. And then you're going to pay back the lender. So v'yamarle havli shtaroi, and the borrower is going to say, okay, now give me back my shtar, because I don't want you holding a shtar chov saying that I owe you $100. I just paid you back. V'yamarle irchasli. Now the lender is going to say, I lost the shtar because of leitavra, and he's going to write a receipt instead of the shtar. V'chimotas mane mashvile v'chimotis mane mashvile pashut. Now, when the time that's written in the shtar comes to pass, you're going to rip open the shtar, you're going to convert it into a shtar pashut, v'yamalei, hani hashta diyaz aftaminoi, and you're going to say, oh, you just borrowed this money from me. Now, why are you able to do it again? Because let's say that we had a shtar dated today, that it's July 5th in the first year of Donald Trump's presidency, right? But it's a shtar mekusher. So we're writing July 5th in the second year of Donald Trump's presidency. So I might loan you money. I'm going to take the shtar. You're going to pay me back. You'll ask me for the shtar back. I'll say, sorry, I don't have the shtar. I'll write you a shuvar. And I write you a shuvar that says, August 10th, in the first year of Donald Trump's presidency, you paid me back. Okay, now I still have the shtar. I really do have it. I just lied to you and told you that I don't have it. Now, in the interim, sometime over the next year, I'm going to rip open the shtar. I'm going to make it into a shtar pashut. That shtar says, in the second year, July 5th, in the second year of Donald Trump's presidency. And now I'm going to go back to you and say, oh, you did borrow money from me last year, but then you paid me back. And after you paid me back, I loaned you money again. So the fact that the date is post-dated is asking for trouble, because you're going to turn the mekusher into a pashut, and you're going to pretend that the guy borrowed money from you again. So says the Gemara, a kosavar in kos van shovar. You're right. If it were possible that you could get away, that the lender could get away with only writing a shovar, with only writing a receipt, then we'd have to be worried about mischief, because the shtar would post-date the shovar, in which case we're afraid of this type of game. But we saw there's a machlokes whether we write a shovar or not. And therefore you would never repay unless you get the shtar back and actually rip up the shtar. And that's why we're not afraid that you're gonna play these games with the fact that the mekusher is post-dated. So says the Gemara, let's explain this whole thing over here, because Rebbe was asking Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, how is it that you could ever pull apart the mekusher and turn it into a pashut? The date on the mekusher is different than the date on the pashut. It's mashma that Rebbe was some sort of bucky in a get mekusher. Umi bucky Rebbe mekusher, but was Rebbe a bucky in a get mekusher? Vahu mekusher dasa l'kame de Rebbe. There was a get mekusher that came before Rebbe. V'yama Rebbe shtar meuchor zeh. And Rebbe said that this date, this document is post-dated, and therefore it's invalid. So v'amar le zonin, and zonin, this is a machlokas who Zonin was. Some say that the Rashbam says Zonin was a chacham who was the Yisrael, and he's mentioned elsewhere in the Gemara. And there's a Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah which is mashma that Zonin was an Ovid Kochavim Befarhesia, but the Rashi there disagrees, and the Rashbam here disagrees also. And the reason is because if Zonin were really an Ovid Avodah Zarah Befarhesia, the Gemara would never mention his name. It would say something like Ahu Gavra or something like that, or Ahu Kuti. It wouldn't mention him by name. But anyway, this Rabbi Zonin, this Jew Zonin, according to the Rashbam, said to Rebbe, Kach Menaga Shalom Azu. No, that's the Minig. Melech Shana Monam L'Shtayim. Shtayim Monam L'Shalosh. So how can you tell me Rebbe was such a bucky? Rebbe thought that the shtar was post-dated and needed Zonin to explain to him how the shtar is dated. Says the Gemara, yeah. After he heard it from Zonin, he became a bucky. So Basur Deshamim Zonin Savra. So after he heard it from Zonin, that's when he really focused on the discrepancy in dating the shtaros, and that's when he knew how a mekusher was dated. Okay, so says the Gemara Vaitar, Ahu shtara davikasa beishnas Ploni Archon. There was a shtar that was written in the year of Ploni Archon. So Archon means the first year of the Malchus. The Rashbam says that Archon is from the Lashon of arranged or in order. In other words, that his Malchus is arranged. So Amar Rav Chanina, Yivdak Emasai Amad Archon Barchanuse. So we should look, when did this ruler ascend to his rulership? So says the Gemara, Bedilma de Arich Malchuse. Maybe Archon means not in the first year, but Archon means that his rulership was very lengthy. It was a very long rule. So Amar Rav Oshia, Kach Minaga Shalom Azu. No, this is the minig of this nation. Shana Rishona Korin Lo Archon. The first year they would call the rulership Archon. Shnia Korin Lo Digon. And the second year they would call Digon, which the Rashbam explains is a lashon of Laz. So Vidilma Avuri Avru Vahadarukmu. So maybe if the shtar was dated in the first year of Archon's rule, it wasn't the first year of his rule. Maybe he ascended to the rulership, then he was deposed, and then he was brought back. And maybe the date in the shtar is really the second date. So says the Gemara. So Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Archon Digon Karele. No, that wouldn't be that they wouldn't call that Archon. They would call that Archon Digon, because in other words, it was the second first year of his rulership. Tosfa says Archon is not really a ruler. It's really Stam an official. It's a Stam an official in a position of authority, but it's not really a melech. How did Tosfos know that? Tosfos says, because the Gemara just said, well, how do you know that it's the first year of his rule? Maybe he ruled a year, and then they kicked him out of office, and then he came back and ruled again. Tosfos says it's not the derech of a melech to kick him out of office and then have him come back. So we see from here that it's Stam an official. And by an official, by an elected official, or by a social servant, it was the minig that they would work, and then they would get kicked out, and they would be redeployed, and then they would come back. So it's not really a melech, explains Tosfos. But in any event, if it says Archon, it means that it was the first year. Digon means the second year. Tana Rabbanan, we see similar. Hareini Nazir, if a guy takes a vow of Naziris, but he doesn't say how many periods of Naziris he's going to observe. Stam Naziris is Shloshim Yom. So Sumchas Amar Hina Achas, if he says Hina, it means one. Digon Shtayim, Trigon Gimel, it's like triangle. Tatrigon, a tetragon is Arba. Pentigon Chamesh. Tana Rabbanan, similarly, Bias Ogul, you have a roundhouse. Digon, Trigon, Pentagon, a three-cornered house, a two-cornered house, a three-cornered house, a five-cornered house. Ena matame benegam. They do not come tame to negam. Tetrigon matame benegam. Only a four-cornered house becomes tame for tomas negam. So minani mili. How do we know this? The Tanur Rabbanan. Lamaila Omar kir kiros shtayim. Lamato Omar kir kiros shtayim. It says the word kir kiros each time in the parsha that this is written, kiros habayis, and 2 + 2 = 4, arekan arba, and therefore we see that the house is not susceptible to tumas negaim until there are four corners to the house. Says the Gemara Vayter, who mekusher dasa l'kame de Rebbe. There was a get mekusher that came before Rebbe. V'amar Rebbe, ein zman bazeh. And Rebbe said that there is no zman in this shtar, because the zman was written so deep into the fold that he couldn't see it. Samar Reb Shimon b'Rebbe l'Rebbe shema ben k'sharav muvla. Maybe the zman of the shtar is found is all the way in between the folds over here. Playa, so they pulled it apart. V'chazia, and then he saw the date. Hadar Chaza ba Rebbe Bebishas, and Rebbe was he saw Rebbe was very disapproving, because the shtar was written in a way that not even Rebbe, who we said became an expert in a shtar mekusher, was able to see where the date was in the shtar. Some are lay, so Reb Shimon Rebbe said, Lava na kasafti, don't be mad at me, I didn't write the shtar. Rav Yehuda Chataya kasfe. Rav Yehuda Chataya wrote the shtar. So Amar Leh, Klach mi Lashon Hara zeh. You stop talking Lashon Hara. Zimnin Havi Yosef Kamei. Another time, Rav Shimon Rebbe was sitting before Rebbe. V'kapasuk Sidra b'Sefer Tilim. They were reading part of Sefer Tilim. Amar Rebbe, Kama Miyushar K'sav zeh. And Rebbe said, how beautiful is the handwriting of this sofer who wrote the Sefer Tilim. So Amar Leh, so Rav Shimon Rebbe said, Lava na k'savti, I didn't write it. Yehuda Chaita k'savte, kasve. That Yehuda Chaita wrote the Sefer Tilim. Amale klach mi lashon hara zeh. So leave this lashon hara. Stop talking lashon hara. Says the Gemara, lashon hara bishlam ahasam ika lashon hara. By the shtar mekusher, Rebbe was upset because the date was placed so far into the folds he couldn't even find it. So and if you go point the finger at somebody else and say, oh, he deserves the blame because he wrote the shtar, that's real lashon hara. Elahacha my lashon hara ika. But over here, Rebbe was complimenting the guy's handwriting. What's the lashon hara? Bishum de Rebbe. A person shouldn't speak too much about the attributes of his friend, because from speaking good about the person, you're going to come to speak bad about the person. So we'll stop here for today. Tomorrow we'll pick up with a discussion. We'll review this a little bit and talk about the gedarim of when it really is lashon hara to talk about to talk good about somebody. And we'll continue with the sugya tomorrow, God willing.